So, talk a lot about changing the way Americans get to work, the way Americans actually use transportation as part of the entire green agenda. But how does anyone expect Americans to get out of their nice, comfortable cars and sit on a bus or a train and get to work when they've been trained with commercials like these?
I know my own needs. And what I need from an automobile, I know I get from this new Corvova.
It's Ricardo Montalban doing a 1975 Cordoba commercial with fine Corinthian leather, a statement that lived long after the Cordoba or even
Ricardo
Montalban.
Right, there's no such thing as Corinthian leather, right?
Indeed, there is none. But the idea of American cars as living rooms on wheels with radios and GPSs and iPods responding to a driver's every need, is it any wonder that only in two American cities there's even a quarter of Americans that use mass transit to get to work? That's New York and San Francisco. The vast, vast majority of Americans head to work in their own cars, all by themselves. No carpool. Solo commuters. What would it take the way you commute to change the way you commute to work? There's new evidence out from the Brookings Institution that despite the knowledge that we probably should green up our commutes, we're just not doing it. Joining us is Bruce Katz, Vice President of the Metropolitan Policy Program at the Brookings Institution. Good morning, Bruce.
Morning. How are you?
Pretty frustrating data you're poring over, eh?
Well, there's some good news here. I mean, frankly, in the past 8 years, we saw the share of Americans that commute by transit go up a bit, and the share of those that drive alone fall slightly. But frankly, this is a reflection of how we grow our communities, how we grow our metropolitan areas, and most of that growth tends to be out to lower density places.
Which means it's basically a big pain in the you-know-what to take mass transit compared with just going downstairs, putting the key in the ignition, and driving off to work. Steve Dutch is professor of natural and applied sciences at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Hey, with green in your name, you ought to be able to make things work better in Madison. How's it been going, Steve?
Well, I wouldn't know about Madison since I live in Green Bay.
Well, I know, but I mean, you Wisconsinites. Yeah. I mean, it's a bunch of lefties out there. You guys invented Earth Day, as I recall, right?
Actually, I think that was William Proxmire and Gaylord Nelson were involved in that, yes. But I am by no means hostile to mass transit, but I do have a website up entitled Why People Don't Use Mass Transit, because in decades of reading about the debate, I have never, ever seen an analysis of mass transit that actually bothered to ask drivers why they don't take the bus. And in my case, the page begins with a personal anecdote about inching across the George Washington Bridge in New York and asking myself why I wasn't taking the more or less direct routes that would have gotten me to the same place. And I realized that, time and flexibility were part of it, personal space, flexibility, convenience, and safety were all issues. And I have never, ever seen a mass transit advocate deal with these problems.
Well, Bruce Katz, what do you think Steve is talking about there, not deal with these problems? There are obstacles, apparently, to people getting out of their cars and doing mass transit. In your view, what are those obstacles, Bruce Katz?
Well, I think he's talking about the obstacles, reliability, frequency, availability. But, look at the places where this works. Washington, D.C., New York, San Francisco, and increasingly we're seeing newer places, southeastern places, Sunbelt metros, building mass transit. Density matters. Having workers concentrate and people concentrate in the cores or the older suburbs of their metropolitan areas for work and residence matter. So how you build communities ultimately is going to determine who takes transit, whether they're going to take the transit option. If we keep building out low-density sprawl, subsidized, frankly, by government, people won't choose the option.
Now, there are a lot of people who weigh in on this on our website who really, I think, convey a sense of hopelessness about this ever helping them. Janet from South Plainfield, New Jersey, left this comment, for instance. In the suburbs of New Jersey, mass transit is non-existent if you don't live near a rail line. For my son to get the 8 miles to work or the 10 miles to classes, he must take 2 buses, often not make connections in time. In the case of school, one of the routes doesn't even run after 6 p.m., making late afternoon classes impossible. I mean, part of the problem is that mass transit doesn't meet everyone's needs. Right, Bruce Katz?
Well, absolutely. 40% of people who live in metropolitan areas live in low-density counties, and that's where mass transit is not really available. Now, that's not just about choice. That's about government policies that have basically facilitated, catalyzed that kind of growth. There's a different kind of growth that we can have in the United States. It would be smarter fiscally. It would give people more choices. It means we have to change our transportation policy, our housing policy, and a whole set of other things that have led us to this situation. I venture to guess that a lot of people out there would like more choice than just driving alone in their car to work. They're not getting it.
Bruce Katz is vice president of the Brookings Institution and director of the Metropolitan Policy Program there. Steve Dutch, do you see people changing the way they live in communities that might facilitate more choices actually getting out of their cars?
If you look at the history, sprawl was actually facilitated by mass transit. I mean, before there was the automobile, the very first suburbs were built across the Hudson River and across from Washington and Baltimore. They were steamboat suburbs, and then later on there were rail suburbs.
Steve, I have to say that with a minute to go, any sentence that begins with, if you look at the history, kind of scares me a little bit. Can you give me just sort of a final thought?
Gotcha. But people have moved out of cities for centuries whenever they've had the ability.
And we're not going to be able to reverse that trend anytime soon, which complicates everything that Bruce Katz was talking about. Steve Dutch, professor.
Americans don't want to live in high density settings.
There you go.
Period.
Steve Dutch, professor of natural and applied sciences at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, from where he joined us.
Well, actually, I think the Brookings Institution just issued a report showing people moving back into cities recently, so who knows? Continue this conversation at our website, thetakeaway.org, or give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.